She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 218, Getting Comfortable with Being Loud and Putting Yourself Out There with Heather Havenwood. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. Happy Monday. Welcome back to another fabulous episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. Today, I'm very excited for you guys to be tuning into this podcast episode with Heather Havenwood. And the main reason why I really appreciate this episode is because we dive into self-promotion and why self-promotion is so much more difficult for women than it is men. And Heather talks about her own experience and how she was able to get over the idea of quote-unquote self-promotion and some of the emotions that go along with it. And even I myself can admit that there are times when I don't want to self-promote, but in business and as an entrepreneur, it's getting comfortable with that self-promotion and changing the way that we look at it so that we can look at it through the lens of actually serving up value and content to our audience and being unapologetic because we believe in the value that we're delivering. And other things that we talk about this episode is taking note of what media platforms are lucrative for you and your business. So we talk a little bit about Heather's experience and how she was able to get on so many podcast episodes and interviews this past year and how it resulted into revenue and profit for her business. Talk about learning to constantly stay on the media radar, knowing how to sell hope and confidence to your target market, find out what you're good at and build a business from it. And lastly, and most importantly, being able to sell your business, regardless if it is a brick and mortar, a tech company, an online marketing company, whatever it is, talking about the importance and how to sell your business coming up with Heather Havenwood. Also, a friendly reminder, if you guys haven't taken advantage of the She Did It Her Way virtual summit, which once you purchase it, you get access for a lifetime to all the content from October's summit. That is on sale until December 24th for $67. You can head on over to shedidithherwaypodcast.com/summit to get immediate access to that. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast, and today's guest is the lovely Heather Havenwood, and this lady is definitely doing it her way. I'm super jazzed to have her on the show, so Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. By the way, I love your name, She Did It Her Way.
Thank you. Yes.
I was actually one of those names where like, damn, I wish I had that. You ever done that? Like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean,
you have one of those names of like, oh, I so should have done that. It was good.
Thank you.
But good for you. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what it is that you do. And then we'll talk a little bit about the story behind how you got there. And then let's dive into some practical, tactical tips that the audience can take away on growing a $1 million business and flipping a script and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you. My name is Heather Havenwood. I have a book out called Sexy Boss, How the Empowerment of Women is Changing the Rule Book for Money, Success, and Sex, and you can too. That kind of sparked me really kind of going out there and telling my personal stories. Up until that point in my life, I was in the information marketing industry. I've been in the, I would call internet marketing, information marketing business for since 1999, 2001. And I really didn't share my personal story. Really wasn't on the forefront, aka self-promotion, right? So I wrote the book, Sexy Boss, as kind of my coming out of my personal story. And when I wrote the book, I didn't really have the intention to go anywhere. I had this intention of if one person bought it, you know, and one person put a review out there, then it was a success. Like I didn't have the like, let's launch it and make it number one in one day kind of thing. It actually did become number one organically on like what I call accident. 3 years later, I was on a podcast like this and she said, congratulations on being number one at Amazon. I said, oh, you're so adorable and so cute, but it's not. And she goes, no, it is here. And she sends me a screenshot.
You're like, what?
I'm like, what? You know, but that was so awesome because it was 3 years later after the launch. And I felt like, wow, that to me was way more significant than doing the just like, everyone buy my book really fast so that
right.
I can get
leave a review, everybody, let's push it off.
Yeah. So, and Ryan Dice has reviewed my book and he read, I was like, wow, that's awesome. So I've had some pretty amazing success with it, but the intention behind it was really just to share my personal story. And that personal story is my struggles, my ups and downs of being a female in a very male dominant industry. I mean, while you and I were in the green room, I said something that totally resonated with you. And I think it resonates with a lot of women, which is in general, it is easier for men to be self-promotion of themselves than women.
100%.
I mean, it's very counterintuitive to stand on a stage and go, let me just tell you how great I am. Like, I'm just amazing. Oh my God, I'm such a stud. Like, it's for men, they're like, let's do that.
Yeah.
Right? Totally. So I think that I've had to overcome that personally. And I went through a massive bankruptcy and a kind of a huge catastrophe back in 2006. And I remember a friend of mine, Alex Mendoza, and I'm on the phone with him. He said, one day you're going to share your story. Now, my response to him was something about F you, you're horrible, and I'm going to kill you, or something like that. I'm pretty sure it was pretty, you know, explicit. I'm not going to say, but it was a pretty much like hell no kind of response. And he goes, whatever, you're going to tell your story one day when you're ready. You're not ready. Obviously. So back in 2013, I shared my story. And so now I do a lot of other things. That's my introduction.
That's an amazing introduction. Okay, so let's dive in. You've talked a lot about flipping the script and getting through the mental chatter. What are some, take us back to a specific example that you, or a specific experience of your own, and then how have you learned, like, what tricks or what thought process now do you walk yourself through when your brain wants to default to that?
There's so many there, but I'll pick one, right? So I'll just pick one. And one of them is doing podcasting, doing these guest things. I actually wrote a book called Power Guesting about this, but here's what I've learned. So I've been on over 300 podcast interviews /radio/TV since June of 2015. And I learned quickly that it was a very counterintuitive thing to do to go out, one, to be on shows and say, let me tell you how great I am. That was obviously counterintuitive a little bit. But the other counterintuitive piece is to go out and ask people for me to be on their show. Because how I view it is like, this is your party. You know, like, this is your home. Like, I'm a guest here. You know, this is your deal, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a guest in your home, right? And as my Southern background Baptist mom would say, don't go to the party unless you're invited. I mean, like, you know,
yeah,
sit back, little girl, and wait to be invited, which is a very old school view. In an entrepreneurial world, you cannot sit back and wait to be invited to the party. You got to be like, yo, Amanda, you got a party. Can I be invited?
Like I can be there.
Right. Like, what's up, girl? You know, you're like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Heather. You're like, who's at my party? See, men do that all the time. I think back to college, right? Where, or even high school, where you're like, oh, so Amanda's got a party and she didn't invite me. Meanwhile, when Bill heard about Amanda having a party, Bill's like, I show up with a six pack and a hot chick. I'm like, what's up? Bill's here. Like, that's how guys are. They
that
do
is
not
so true.
Invitation. They're like, what's up? I brought a six pack, Amanda. What's up? You're like, oh, dude, Bill showed up. I hate him. But it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. That's the counterintuitive piece for women, right? If you and I didn't get along, I wouldn't be showing up to your party. Bill doesn't care.
What?
Bill could care less. And that's the piece of women have to get over as an entrepreneur. You've got to completely get over that. And you have to let that go and be like, hey, I'm awesome. I'm coming to your party, you know, and totally let go of anything else is there. Or ask people, hey, you got a party, invite me. That's very counterintuitive. And so I had to get over that really quickly. So I've been on 300, but I mean, I do have a service that does connect me with a few of those, but they didn't connect me 300. I'm the one that said everything else. In fact, sometimes they're like, hey, like, it's hard for us to book you because you've been on so many, you know, you've been on everything. So, but I do that, and I do that not because I'm trying to get exposure, of course, and visibility. And I teach people that exposure, visibility, and profitability. But the reason I did it is I wanted to get over my personal fear of telling people how great I am. Which, right? Because I was taught, I can hear my mom's voice right now. That is so not lay-like. Okay, I can just hear it. And that's a very social construct. It starts at a very young age. For me, I grew up Southern, and she'd be nice, be nice, be sweet, be nice, don't be loud, be nice, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you're an entrepreneur, and it's like, be loud, be obnoxious, like, be out there, constantly post yourself every 5 minutes on social media, you're gonna, like, die.
So, yeah, right? That is so true. So
counterintuitive. And if you're brought up, like, at all, or even close to in America and Southern at all, I mean, I don't know about my parent. My mother was extremely, like, be quiet, be nice. It's always the best thing, right? Mm-hmm. And here I am, like, having to put myself out there every single day, every single minute. So that's my lesson. I mean, that's a kind of a long story to answer your question. But the lesson is learning how to self-promote yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got to really get the construct and be – it's totally counterintuitive.
So then at what point – was there a defining moment, or were you at a place when you knew that your mindset had shifted where you're like, whoa, okay, now it's getting, whether it's easier or I'm not thinking those thoughts, or like, was there a defining moment that you can recall when that shifted?
Well, a little bit. I mean, one of the defining moments in podcasting specifically, right, is that I did a podcast called The Sexy Boss Show. It's in the graveyard of iTunes. I've actually thought about launching it because I actually still get a lot of downloads off of it. But it's in 2013. I didn't know what I was doing. I interviewed a bunch of girlfriends all at the same time, and then I put them all up at the same time. I'm like, gah! And then, like, nothing happened, right? It just kind of died. But now, all of a sudden, because I'm on so many, people go to that one. It's actually really, it's really bad, cheesy intro, by the way. It's like, burn, shake a burn, air, sexy boss. It's really bad. But the interviews are really great because they're dear friends of mine. They're really successful. The point is that it didn't go anywhere. And so, to my head, podcasting's dead.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, that didn't work. Moving on. Anyway, but I had a friend of mine reach out to me in June 2015. He's like, hey, why don't you be on my show? I want to ask you a bunch of things you're doing. Sure. So we had this conversation, total chit chat kind of thing. And that was it, 30 minutes. And then I get a phone call from this guy in Minnesota, actually. And he has this business and he's like, will you help me? He became a $5,000 coaching client. And so that's where it hit my head. Okay, wait a minute. 30 minute chit chat, $5,000.
That's a great ROI.
I'm like, let's do that. You know, and the cool, and I come from the speaking world. 2001 to 2006, I produced over 450 events and traveled 50 weeks out of the year. And the thing for me was, like, I didn't have to travel. I didn't do my hair. My makeup looked like crap. And that was awesome. You know, so that's where it hit me. What if I treated podcasting and radio and YouTubing, I mean, all of those – summits. What if I treated it like the speaking business? And that's where I shifted to it. And I was like, I'm just going to hammer it. And so I hammered it. I've been hammering ever since. I did 9 interviews last week.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm not trying to leverage that as like I'm special. The point is that it's consistency. If you look at any professional in anything, it's constant. They're constantly, you know, actors and actresses, the good ones are really always out there consistently. They don't ever stop. It's just like constant. It's like, when do you stop? Well, stop when I'm dead. Joan Rivers was great at that. I mean, she was in her, what, 50s, and she's out there like doing cold calls and pounding the comedy circuit still. Why would she do that? She's already successful. As she would say, I love money, dear. You know, like, so It's about, when do you ever stop? Never.
You keep going. The consistency piece of it. I like that. Talk to, like, share more about, so your current business today, like, what's the structure? How do you build it out? And you've built a couple of million-dollar businesses. Talk us through that portion.
Sure. So first business from $0 to $1 million in 2005 was information marketing business. We were focusing on teaching people how to buy and sell real estate. So in the real estate market and the real estate niche.
It's a great time to be in there.
It was. It was really good. And then 2006 and 2007, it crashed. So it was good timing. And then in 2000, I still had this business. 2010, I started in the dating niche, teaching men how to date women. That was still around. I still have that publishing business. And then my next million was 2015. Started with my fiance at the time. We started a supplement company and weight loss company, local weight loss and online supplement company. We went from zero to 1.5 million in 18 months. That was awesome. And so now we've broken up. So he has that business. And now I really work with clients now. I'm really working with people that are like, hey, I want to, like, I'm just in front of you, right? So that's all it is. I look at, like, I'm just in front of you. So let me mentor you on what I did, right? So I work with clients from Hollywood producer, which is kind of fun. I work with a woman who's in Hollywood who works with media companies. I work with a man who's actually building out a sales training company. I work with everything in between. There's a wedding planner. She's awesome. 25 years in wedding planning. How do you productize your business is the first piece. The second piece I look at, how do you create exposure, right? Visibility and profitability in your business. How do you do that? And those are the specific items I work with clients on one-on-one.
And then when you look back on the businesses from the million-dollar businesses that you've built, what sort of like theme or trend pops up that is something that we could extract from that and then implement in our own business? This is my question. Do I make sense? Sometimes I talk over my question.
It's okay, dear. It's all good. I'll answer. You're on your first cup of coffee.
That is true. I am. And I am brewing my second after this interview.
I'm actually on my second. So we're all good. I got you, girl. I got it. Okay. So I know it's a great question. And the piece of that is like, what am I good at? I think that's another way to say that. I'll answer it this way, which is kind of an interesting view. But there's a guy, a friend of mine, Alex Mendozian. He's a friend. He's a mentor. He's a coach. I've known him for a long time. He said for me to do this thing called discover your verb. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that? He's like, do it. So I did it, and it's basically this little 20-minute video, and you go through this process. And the point of the process is to look at what actually is the thing that you do and you don't know you're doing. It's like the thing. It's your verb. And I really loved it because he goes down like Einstein, and it's statement, I think, therefore I am. You know, that's mm-hmm. Einstein. He used like Obama. He used all these people, celebrities. He used going blank on her name right now. Oprah. So I think it was more like, I love, therefore I am, you know? So it was just like who she is on an ongoing basis. I give, therefore I am. Teresa, Mother Teresa, you know? So it's like, you can see their life. That's just what they do, right? It's like their verb. So mine is I drive, therefore I am. And I drive things. So I'm a promoter. That's my thing. So when I work with clients, the one thing I'm teaching them is how to promote and how to drive their business, how to push it out there and expose it. And it's uncomfortable for entrepreneurs. The reason why it's uncomfortable, and this is really critical, and I teach this, and it's hard for entrepreneurs to get this, but it's so critical. Entrepreneurs are usually selling themselves. Mm-hmm. They're selling their art. So think of it like an artist, literally like a pottery guy or painter. Go to a painter and say, sell me your painting. They'll usually be like, I it's a painting. Like, I was really depressed that day. And like, I had a little weed. You know, like,
yeah.
Bad at selling their own stuff. They're like, shh. That's why there's things called galleries, right? Place in the gallery, and then you have this really amazing woman who would look, isn't that gorgeous? Look at that red. Right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Someone else selling their work. But entrepreneurial world, they have to create it, and then they have to sell their work, and they get all weird about it. Okay? That's where I help them uncollapse all that. Uncollapse their baby, right? Which is their work that they produced or birthed or whatever, their course, and then selling it. It's got to be really different. Corporate America, most salespeople, they don't even know how to make it. Like, I remember I was in copy sales, and big old Xerox copiers.
Oh my gosh.
You remember that? Okay. Yeah. Some telecom. I don't even know how to turn the damn thing on, but I can sell it to you. You know what I mean? Like, look at those beautiful presentations that pops out, baby, in 3 minutes. will you teach us how to do it? We have a person that comes back tomorrow to tell you how to do that.
That's
you
know right. I mean?
So I don't actually have to know it or be an engineer on it. I just sell it to you. And then we expect entrepreneurs to birth it, to develop it, to create it. And then, oh, by the way, you got to sell it. Mm-hmm. So that's where they come to someone like me and I really help them with that process. How do you expose your visibility and profitability with your baby? I mean, think of it like you actually have a child, right? Someone tells you how bad your child is. You're like, how dare you? You know what I mean? It's my baby. My baby's amazing. Mm-hmm. So we don't ever want that feedback, right? So, and the feedback is usually people buying or not. If they're not buying, that's the feedback for you. But we don't want to hear that. So how do you actually create profitability? So the answer to long question, that's pretty much what my elixir is how do I help the artist, aka entrepreneur, to actually sell their products and services and not get all weird about it? And it's definitely harder for women than men.
Yeah, I can definitely relate and imagine. I mean, so aside from maybe that mental hurdle that you work with for men and women just selling as an entrepreneur, is there anything else that you've noticed that pops up as a hurdle for your clients?
Yeah, they get in their own way, right? We all do that. And with systems and structures and giving away our baby. But mainly it's the sales component. It's really how do I sell this product in such a way that I can actually make profit from it. And part of that is actually having to have what I call it an arm's length away from your product. You have to really look at it from an arm's length away, you know?
So how then, like, what are some questions that we can ask ourselves when we are looking at it from an arm's length away?
Okay, so is there another product out there like this? If the answer is no, drop it.
Seriously. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
So, and I say that and people are like, but, wait, look. And it's a hard one. So it's all about being unique without being unique. It's all about spinning without being odd. Okay, so Ruth Chris, which is a steakhouse, by the way, they do not sell steak. They sell sizzle. What's the sizzle for them? When you watch a commercial on Ruth Chris or whatnot, or you go to their website, they do not sell steak. I mean, it's a cow, right? It's a cow. Mm-hmm. The cow. They're selling a cow. No, what they sell is experience. Come to Ruth Chris and you'll have an amazing time with your family. You'll have you'll feel great about yourself and your family. You'll have an amazing service. You'll feel good about yourself while you're having asparagus and steak. Right? And that's what people forget is that they don't sell the sizzle. So the question is, what actually are you selling? Are you selling hope? Are you selling strategy? Are you actually selling confidence? At the end of the day, that's what most products are selling. Mm-hmm. So when you buy an information marketing product, what happens in your head, kind of like a like on Facebook, it's psychological, they actually will go, oh, I just bought a product on social media. It's all done now. I don't have to think about it anymore. It's done. You know. Meanwhile, there's all these things to do, right?
But yeah.
The point is that what actually had you buy that, what had you buy that was confidence. It's like that product will give you the confidence to do X, Y, Z. And so you have to remember why people buy. And this goes back to H to H, which is human to human. People buy because of other people's stories. People buy because they can connect, right? And why people buy hasn't changed that much. Hope and confidence is the number one, number two things that people buy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Okay. This is very interesting. I like it. I like thinking about it that way of like, what is it that you are selling? And it's not just the physical product or the words on the paper, so, but it's an emotion.
And people forget that. So here's a great example. So I used to travel the country doing real estate investing seminars. Okay. And I used to work for a guy named Ron LeGrand, number one guy in the business, like the bomb. Horrible guy to work for, by the way. So mean. But in the industry, he taught me a lot. He was just very blunt, you know, very blunt. And he was like an ogre. When he talked, he just talked in like short bursts. But he taught me a lot. So here we are speaking and teaching people about real estate investing. And of course, our price points are $3,000, $5,000, $6,000, whatever, $10,000, $20,000, all kinds of crazy places. And someone in our team says, Braun, I'm having a really hard time selling these products because, like, there's someone that comes to the back of the room, and I know that guy just bought a wholesale product last week, and he's buying, you know, Jim's wholesale product. And it's like the same thing. I feel like it's out of integrity, and I feel blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. And Ron just looks at him and he's like, it is your responsibility to sell him that. Mm. Not for me because you work for me. It's actually your responsibility to give him the confidence he needs to go after what he wants, which is be a real estate investor. He goes, and the average real estate investor spends $40,000 in education before they make their first deal.
Oh, wow.
When they only need to buy one product. And the reason that is because they need the confidence. So it is your responsibility to pay him, to charge him for that and to have him pay it. And so I was like, wow, I really got that. So again, it goes back to, it's about confidence, and you're really selling hope and confidence. And the products work, right? When you actually, you know, take them to action.
Mm-hmm. How has being a business owner for you changed over the past years of being one? So, like, what's gotten easier for you? What's gotten more difficult, maybe, or challenging when you look at your journey of entrepreneurship?
Psychology of people. Understanding psychology of people has become the most critical part of being an entrepreneur. Understanding how people tick. What they tick, how they tick, and how and why they buy. It's probably been my biggest life lesson. Mm-hmm. I really didn't understand, you know, I was in sales in corporate America in my 20s and I did very well, but I didn't understand how people worked. I didn't understand the psychology at all on why people bought. It was kind of just a fluke, you know? But now I understand why people buy and the psychology and what are they really buying.
What's a book that you have you read a book that has helped you uncover that for yourself that you could recommend or share with us?
Not really. No. I mean, that's just, I mean, I used to travel the country and, you know, you really learn how people, how and why people buy when you're sitting in front of them and you're asking them for $3,000 and then you deal with all their stuff around money, you know, and you have to really learn that process because I was going to either eat ramen noodles that night or I was going to eat steak that night based on them.
Like, girl, I'm eating steak.
Right. Exactly. So I had to learn quickly the psychology of people and why they buy. I mean, the art of that is called copywriting. If you want to learn copywriting, that's a skill set I would highly suggest that all entrepreneurs learn, including women. I did an event in 2013 with Joe Polish, Joe Sugarman, John Carlton, and John Benson. And the whole point of the event is still online. You can buy the video. It's called Success Magnet Seminar. But the point of the event was the number one skill that every entrepreneur should know is copywriting. Out of that event, there was like 150 people there, which is pretty low for that audience. Actually, I got phone calls later like, we thought that the event was a joke because the lineup was so good. Anyway, there was like 3 women there. Why? Because for women aren't taught, go be a copywriter. You know, learn how to sell through words. They're not really taught learn how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the number one skill set is copywriting.
Copywriting. That's what my next question was going to be, like, what would you recommend to a business owner for starting out? But it sounds like you would recommend copywriting and learn how to write to sell.
Yeah, copywriting. Copywriting. Yeah. Copywriting. It's the number one skill set. If you look at all the big names out there, you know, they know how to write copy. They know how to speak copy or write copy or both.
Mm-hmm. What is it that, so for like, how are you planning if you're planning for 2018? Some people, everyone does it differently. Some people don't do it. Some people get really detailed about it, but what is it for you? What does 2018 look like both personally and professionally?
Great question. I'm relooking at a couple of things. Of course, I think we all do, right? But this has been a rough year for me. 2017 has been kind of a rough year for me. Personally, I had a fiance. We broke up and then the business that we are creating, he has. So it had a, you know, a huge kind of an opening for me. So I'm really looking at 2018 newly and kind of excited about it to kind of put all that behind me, you know. But in 2018, it's it's all about me, girl. Like, it's just it's just all about putting money in the bank and having fun and just all about me. And I'm actually looking at really doing another level of giving what I've learned. You know, I haven't really taught a lot. Like, I'm not out there teaching in workshops a lot, and I would like to do that. So I'm looking at doing an intensive, a two-day intensive on exposure, visibility, and profitability, influence marketing in January. You're not talking about that offline, to a small group. I like intimacy. I like small group. I like to have that kind of connection rather than a big, big event. So I'm looking at doing more workshops, events. I live in Austin, so people like to come here, so that's cool.
It's warm compared to the Chicago area.
Gorgeous right now. It's like 75. Sorry. But I'm looking at doing more of that and getting and exposing myself even more. I'm on radio now. I'm looking to expand my syndication of that and kind of just blowing it up this year. It's my blow up year, 2018. Just blow it up.
Now, do you, I'm always curious, like, how people set the goals, or like, again, like I said, some people get really down to this is what's happening this quarter, this is happening this quarter. I mean, I've even done that too, and I have my own way, but I'm so curious about how other people do it. So like, is there a strategy behind your goal setting and the way that you achieve them? Or is it one of those, the energy behind putting it out there and trusting that it happens?
Oh God, I listen, I'm hearing my coach in my head right now. So I feel like I need to be like, this is what you should be saying right now, you know, but I'm like, it's not me. I'm doing a cleanup of my house right now, one of those things. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding all these things that I wrote, like these goals that I wrote, like in 2011, I'm going to do all this stuff, right? Some of it's kind of come true. But I noticed that a lot of the numbers, it's like, they didn't happen. They, some did, some didn't, you know, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I realized that looking at that makes me feel like crap. And I'm like, you know, what if I focused on something else? And as one of my mentors said, what you focus on expands, right? What you focus on, if you focus on your health gets better. If you focus on your relationship, your relationships gets better. But that's not how it works with money. If you focus on your money doesn't get better or bigger. And I said, well, that doesn't make sense because you just told me that the laws of the universe are what you focus on expands. He's like, well, yeah, you focus on helping people, helping more people, your money grows. And it's very counterintuitive. So I think that's why I'm going to focus on 2018 is like, how can I take all my knowledge of 15, 20 years in this business and help more people?
That's a really great way of thinking about it too. Instead of focusing just on the number, but like, what is it that really expands the number and then focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is, oh, go ahead.
I just feel like my coaches be like, you shouldn't be saying that.
But you got to go with what aligns and feels good with you.
Right. Oh, I can hear her. I can hear her in my head right now.
What does, so I have a couple last questions, but one of them is, what does flow, like living in flow look like for you? And how do you know when you're in flow and how do you get into flow, or what are the things that you do that help you vibrate, have high vibration levels?
Silence. Marianne Williamson, I just read this recently, so it's perfect you said that. Silence is pregnant with God. And so I read this, you know, silence is pregnant with God, and it's in the silence that you grow. So I think it's more silence. And then taking from Carolyn Mize recently, I just love this quote. I have it on my kitchen right now because I'm just kind of being with it right now. She said that what to do is say, God, I'm listening. And just be with it. I love that.
Yeah. Kind of
there.
Yeah. I know I sometimes, when I feel like my world is spinning in multiple different directions and I'm feeling a little all over place, the knee-jerk reaction or the underlying reaction is always to want to control. So I start planning things, and then sometimes I'll start acting like just physically doing things, and then what I need to do, what I'm realizing, is just to do nothing in those moments and get back to the silence. And it's like breaking that physiological habit is not, I shouldn't say it's not easy, because it is or it isn't, and you either do or you don't. There's no try. So working through that.
Here's what you don't do. Let me say this real quick. Here's what you don't do. And this is me speaking to myself. Don't go to Facebook. Don't do that. Don't go there and scroll.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I know. I usually Facebook, I'm on there for our community, and then also like a couple other mastermind things that I'm in for my own development growth. And then otherwise, like, Facebook can be really overwhelming at times. So two things. What are your favorite books that you've read that you would recommend to us? And then what is the next thing that you would outsource in your business?
So book, Robert Cialdini, Influence. Mm-hmm. Outsource. Editing my podcast. Mm-hmm. I did, and then I pulled it back in, and then I'm editing again. And so I'm fishing that back out. I don't like editing.
Yeah.
So that one's that's a big one.
No, I'm with you. Well, Heather, this has been amazing. Is there anything that I've missed or that I left out or didn't ask about that you want to share?
No, this has been great. I really appreciate it. I think that I wanted to kind of give a gift, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So my book, Sexy Boss, I have three free, it's on audio as well as physical and Kindle and Amazon and Audible, but I want to give three free chapters away of my audio book, Sexy Boss, and here's how you do it. It's through my chat bot, which is super fun. So you have this whole fun experience to get it ready. So here's the URL. When you go to this URL, no matter if you're on your mobile or on desktop, it's going to go and open up Facebook Messenger, just heads up, right? So it's going to go askheatherann.com. That's askheatherann.com. So what basically you're just going to interact with my chat bot, which is super fun. It's me, my voice talking to you. And then you're going to get for doing all that and having some fun with it. At the end, you're going to get three free chapters of my audiobook, Sexy Boss.
Oh, that is, thank you. And that is so cool about the chatbot. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, super fun. And so I encourage people to go through it, mainly because it's fun, but also you can experience it and see if chatbots work for you. And if they do, then you're welcome to reach out to me.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'll be sure we'll have in the show notes, we'll link to that too, and all of your social media handles so people can follow up and find you. But this has been amazing, and thank you. I loved chatting and getting to know you.
Thank you, Amanda. I appreciate it. You did it your way.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.